week we began looking at making personal application. Again, in all Bible study, we need to make personal application. We must not read the Bible simply for someone else. We must read it to make application for ourselves. That needs to be our primary goal. By application, we mean a heart and life-changing conformity, to be more and more conformed to Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, just by way of quick review, and then we want to give an example. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe we have listed here the functions of the Word of God. That is what it is meant to do, what God uses it for. He says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And then he tells us that it's profitable for four things. It's profitable for a lot of things, but all of that can be summarized under these four things: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And I believe we can use those four functions as building blocks of application. Doctrine basically is the teaching of a passage. What is the main teaching of a passage? And we've dwelt on this. When you look at a verse or a passage, you need to find out the subject. You need to always find out the subject. Even if you're just looking at one sentence, you need to find out the subject. The subject is doctrine. That is what is being taught upon. Reproof is the exposure of that which is contrary to God, that which is contrary to God's ways. The Bible reproves in a lot of different ways, but it's profitable for reproof. Correction, of course, is the necessary steps to change what is exposed. Again, it is not enough to just expose sin. There has to be correction. That is what is required to change the bad behavior, what is required to change that which is contrary to God. And then, of course, there's instruction in righteousness. There's a definite order here. You have a subject, you have reproof. Following reproof is correction. Following correction, after all these things have been done, now you are ready to be instructed in righteousness. So using these four functions, I believe we have a basis for making personal application. For example, let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll read the first 10 verses. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the statute, the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. First thing we need to ask ourselves is, what is the doctrine that is being taught in this passage? That is, what is the main subject of this passage? And I believe the main subject, and we could show it in many ways, is to look entirely to the Lord. That seems to be the main teaching of this passage. This is brought out in many ways. But notice the phrases in verse 3, in the Lord. We're told to do something. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4, in the Lord. Verse 5, unto the Lord. Verse 5, in him. Verse 7, in the Lord. Verse 7, for him. Verse 9, upon the Lord. The Lord is the emphasis, and the subject matter is for you and I to look entirely to the Lord. So everything is about this subject. So we know the subject matter, or the main teaching of the passage. That brings us to reproof. What possible reproof is there in this passage for me, in my life, and in my situation? What is the reproof that is being given? Well, that's very easy to see in verse 1. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. That's a reproof. He also says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Again, the subject is looking unto the Lord in all things. The reproof is, you do not fret, and you do not become envious at the wicked. That is, you do not get your eyes on other things. You do not get your eyes on other people. That is two reproofs that we have in verse 1. So we need to ask ourselves, do I fret? Am I envious? And again, it's no use. It's an exercise in futility to ask yourself questions if you will not give an honest answer. If you're not going to give an honest answer, don't even bother asking the question, because you're just wasting time. And really, the best way to answer these questions is, do I fret? Am I envious? Is go to the Lord and ask him. And believe me, he'll show you. In verse 8, another reproof, we're to cease from anger, we're to forsake wrath, and then again we're told to fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So the reproof is, do away with anger, do away with wrath, do away with fretting, do away with anything that is contrary to God, which is covered under the heading of evil. So again, we need to ask ourselves, are we angry? And say you answer that question, yes, I'm angry at so-and-so, but here's why. No, you again, don't even bother asking the question if you're going to answer it and then justify your answer. You just have to be honest. You cannot make personal application if you're not willing to be honest, if you're not willing to go to God and for God to show you. Again, Psalm 139, I believe it is, the psalmist prays, show me there be any wicked ways? And when God reproves us, the best place to go is not to ask your spouse, do I do this? Not to ask the pastor, not to ask someone else. Go to the one who really knows. Go to the Lord and ask Him. So we have doctrine, we have reproof. Okay, say we're guilty of one or some of these things that have been exposed. Where does that leave us? Well, we should desire to change. And that's where correction comes in. We need to ask ourselves, okay, I'm guilty of such and such. What correction needs to be made in my life? What steps does the Bible teach that must be taken in order to make those corrections? Again, the corrections are, fret not thyself. If you fret, he says, stop. That's the correction. If you fret, stop. If you're envious, stop. I mean, that seems simple, but that's the correction that is given. Verse 8 again, the correction is, if you're guilty of anger, cease from anger. If you're guilty of wrath, forsake wrath. Again, in other words, stop. Stop doing it. Once again, people say, well, I have tried. Well, that's part of the problem. Again, the subject matter is depending upon God. And if we're going to change, God has to change us. If you need to stop doing something, the best thing to do is to ask God to stop you. That's the best thing to do. People will say, well, I am afraid to do that. Do you realize what God might do? Then you don't really want to stop. So you have a huge problem. The best way to stop a behavior is say, Lord, I have tried. I can't. You stop me. You stop me. Now you've got to try. Again, people have this concept in their minds that God is just can't wait. I mean, it's just like he's up there doing this, just can't wait to let you have it. That's not the God I serve. He's a merciful God. And if you ask God to stop you, yes, he might bring you some pain. He might. But he might not. God has many, many ways of stopping a behavior. But however God stops it, it will be good. And it will be in his wisdom. So we have doctrine, we have reproof, we have correction. And then there is instruction. There is instruction in righteousness. That is, we need to ask ourselves, what is the instruction to help me? What is the instruction that is going to help me? In what area of righteousness is the Lord training me? Again, the Lord doesn't train in unrighteousness, but the Bible is profitable for instruction in righteousness. So we need to always be asking ourselves, in what way is God instructing me? In what path of righteousness is God instructing me? Well, the instruction is in verse 2. Again, getting back to the correction, you need to trust, you need to delight, you need to commit. That's also part of the instruction. But in verse 2, speaking of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That is, in the context of, fret not thyself. Why do we fret? What is it that we fret about? We fret about people, usually. He mentions evildoers. He mentions the workers of iniquity. The instruction is, do not lose sight. Do not lose sight of the real condition of evildoers. The psalmist had a problem many times of looking at the wicked, seeing that seemingly they are prospering, and here I am trying to do what is right, and I am suffering. And the psalmist said, I understood their end when I went into the house of God. That's what we lose sight of. Well, I'm trying to do right, and things don't work out for me. Well, first of all, you got your eyes on the wrong thing. They're not doing right, and things seem to be working out for them. Well, now you've got a pride problem. You see, you think you deserve more than them because you have a works-based righteousness. But what God is telling us here is, do not lose sight of the real condition of evildoers. Yes, you may try to do right. You may even do right. And things may not turn out the way you want them to. And yes, this person over here may do that which is contrary to God, and it seems like the blessings just fall upon them, but don't lose sight of their condition. They're on their way to hell. You don't want to be in their place. Be not thou envious against evildoers. And what he's teaching us here, the instruction of righteousness is, really, get your eyes off of others. Get your eyes on God, is what he's teaching. And that's why he says, trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Get your eyes on the right things. This is the instruction. And we hear these things all the time. Again, verse 3, 4, 5, and 7 is instruction in righteousness. It's also correction. The way to correct fretting, the way to correct envy, the way to correct anger is to trust in the Lord, is to delight in the Lord, to commit thy way unto the Lord, to rest in the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. And you know what? People want to rest in the Lord without trusting in God. It doesn't work that way. They want to rest in God without delighting in God. They want to rest in God without committing unto God. It doesn't work that way. Rest is the result of these other things. So this is the instruction. So we need to ask ourselves over and over, in what way, first of all, what is being taught? Is there reproof for me? It's not you read the scriptures, you see a particular sin, you say, wow, I need to show this to so-and-so because this is them. Oh, you don't fall in the trap of reading the Bible for others. Read it for yourself. There's reproof for us. Don't stop short with the reproof. A lot of people do this in raising children. They reprove, but they do not correct. The two go together. You reprove in order to correct the behavior. God does it the same way. He exposes wrong, and then he gives steps to change, steps to correct. And then right along that, he gives instruction in what we should do. So these are four building blocks to making application. And if we use these with any passage of Scripture, and we are honest, we can always make application to ourselves, to our circumstances, to our situations. You know, you may read Psalm 37 one day, and it says, fret not thyself, and you may not be guilty at all that day. But you may read it another day, and you may have spent the whole day fretting. So what's not a reproof one day may be the next. And we need to always keep that in mind. Next week, we'll just look at some questions that we need to ask ourselves by way of making application. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the prophet that your word brings us, brings our lives, and we thank you, Lord, that you've given it to us. We pray as we worship you today that you'd help us, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would change our hearts wherever they need changing. Lord, that you would cause us to go from here walking closer to thee and enjoying thee more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.